On Tina Turner with 90.7 The Capstone. Thursday night, the Crimson White broke the story that the University of Alabama's former assistant vice president and dean of students, Dr. Jamie R. Riley, resigned from his position after less than 7 months on the job. The article further states that Dr. Riley's resignation came a day after the right-wing news source Breitbart News published an article detailing images of past tweets from Riley in which he criticized the American flag and made connections between police and racism. UA seniors Farah and Quylan are involved with culturally inclusive organizations here at UA. Both knew Dr. Riley as he served here on campus and are here with me now in the studio. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Yes, so I brought you in because I knew you both had, you know, you knew him personally, Dr. Riley personally, and you're not happy with how things worked out in the end for him. So tell me your overall reaction whenever you first heard this.
Well, my first reaction, honestly, I didn't believe it. I was just on Twitter, social media, and I see stuff popping up, and I was like, this can't be right. Like, this isn't right. He's been here for 7 months, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and then it turned into shock and then anger over the fact that I don't think anything he said was false, necessarily. I think that he was just in his statements, and now that he's gone for some reason.
Should I read the tweets? Should we let the audience know what exactly we're talking about? So one of the first ones that are found, I mean, on his Twitter, which is now private, but it's on the CW website, is it says the flag, which the American flag emoji, the American flag represents a systemic history of racism for my people. Police are a part of that system. Is it that hard to see the correlation? So do you see this being not so much problematic, but can you see how people would be kind of enraged that he would say something like this to the point where he would have to resign?
I suppose I could see it, but I think that if you have a problem with his statements, then you are a part of the problem that his statements were about. I think that he made just statements, like I said. I mean, they're correct to a large group of people in America, and him speaking out about it, I mean, that's what he's supposed to do, isn't it? Like, I mean, I think he's supposed to speak out about stuff like that, especially when it's a concern of a large population.
And I would like to just say that this tweet was tweeted in September of 2017. So
right. It
looks like someone might have been digging for something like this. Obviously, someone was. Breitbart went and searched for this. But what was your reaction whenever you heard, Farah, whenever you heard about this resignation?
Well, I have to look at things through like two separate lenses because I'm student leader and a student. So from a student leadership position, I was hurt because someone that I intended on working for, someone that I was working with, someone that I had a lot of respect for, it just seemed so untimely and so fast, and I was just taken aback by it and confused. I personally learned from a phone call. And from a student perspective, Dr. Riley has been there for me for a lot of things. He's just someone that I could depend on, someone that I believe I was one of the first students that he met on campus. So we've just always, just every time we see each other, you know, just a check-in, whether my life was going really great or whether things were just bothering me. Like, I knew that that was someone that I could depend on campus, even though this is this crazy busy person. And just to, I guess, kind of piggyback off of Quylan, with those tweets, we have to sort of, even though there can be multiple lenses to look through, we have to understand the lens from which the tweet came from. And it came from someone that is speaking on his own experiences. And although people can occupy positions like president of, you know, a university, vice president, they can be dean of students, they are still human beings. And I just believe that as much as I am entitled to my own opinion, and I can express it, we have to allow him the same space as well. So. Mm-hmm.
You know, he does have a platform where he does speak on the behalf of students. And so something about police and something about the American flag has been a issue in recent events. So do you see how this platform could make him kind of restrained from, you know, saying these kind of personal beliefs?
I think that during this time, when the tweets were posted, it was around the time that Colin Kaepernick was kneeling for the national anthem and, you know, those protests were happening. So it was, I mean, that was an extremely pivotal moment for a lot of Americans, you know, watching football and then having to see this. So it definitely makes sense that people would be angry. But given his platform, I mean, I think he should speak about it. I think that it's important for him to, somebody who has that access to speak, who has that platform, to say the things that the people who do not have it need to say. Mm-hmm. There's been so much going on, like politically speaking, and it's just nice to know that we had somebody here who was willing to actually speak for us.
I would just like to include that Dr. Riley is a black man, because this is radio, yes. So they did not see visuals right. With everything I'm saying. Yes. But, you know, moving right along, you know, he, like we've said, he's only been here for 7 months, but he seemed right. to have caused, like, a big impact in your time so far, you're on campus, you all are seniors. So do you think he's done that for other students as well?
Definitely.
Absolutely. I've literally heard stories on stories about students, like, have you met Dr. Riley? He's just so cool. Yeah. And, oh, he asks me about this thing, and I didn't think he would remember, like, everybody, like, the general consensus, at least from what I heard from students around me and my friends, was that this was just a very genuine person, and it felt mm-hmm. like a breath of fresh air, because I've met admin that care, but there was a sense of relatability, there was a sense of transparency that even he would talk about. You know, I believe that what's the point in being here and working for you all as a Dean of Students if you all don't know what I'm doing. So
right.
It was just this type of respect that he didn't have to go out of his way to work for. It was just like, your energy, we're going to give it to you.
Right. Yeah, when I first met him, I didn't even meet him really. It was just in passing. Like, it was at his welcome reception, and I couldn't stay, but I did see him for a moment, and I had to leave. And the next time I saw him, he said, hey, I saw you at the welcome reception. We didn't get a chance to speak, but I would like to formally introduce myself. And I was like, wow, just wow. Like, that is so, like, I mean, honestly, he's probably one of the most respected people on this campus. Mm-hmm. He remembered my name off mm-hmm. rip, and I mean, Quailin is not an easy name to remember, so I had to give him props for that. But it's stuff like that that makes this even more painful, mm-hmm. like makes this experience even more hurtful to the students on this campus, you know, the minorities and the marginalized people, because he was really, like, he really wanted to be accessible. He really wanted to be there, and he accomplished it.
From what I hear, it sounds like he's had a presence within other organizations. Like, he wasn't just in his office. He was out and about, you know, working with students.
He had been physically present in general body meetings for different organizations that I was either just a general body mm-hmm. member of, or same. On e-board. He had a physical presence that you're not just talking the talk, you're walking the walk.
Right. After hours, it didn't matter. Like, he was always available, always accessible, and still is.
So obviously this is something that started from Twitter. And I don't know if you all are, you know, on Twitter. I'm sure. I mean, as young adults, we most likely are. But what have you seen on social media-wise, the reaction of some students?
Outrage.
Mm-hmm. Hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And rightfully so. Like we said, this is an administrator that quickly and, for lack of a better term, an attachment was made. We felt like this is a voice that's relatable. And so for it to be just kind of right before our eyes, for it to kind of just fall apart, it was yeah. a lot of students were expressive in their pain, which I think, you know, like, you need to. I don't want to stop anybody from expressing themselves on Twitter, and nor will I ever. And just seeing their reaction, seeing how everyone had their own different story, whether it was a small interaction like Quailin, where he just met him in passing and then it grew, or a big interaction, then it, like, everyone just seemed to be angry and hurt and confused by it.
Mm-hmm. It did technically come out of absolutely nowhere. Yeah. So I can understand the surprise that some people would have for that. But, you know, why is it important to speak out about something like this? Because here you all are today, here in the studio today talking to me. But, you know, it's one thing just to tweet about something on Twitter, but why have you all decided to take action and, you know, coming at least to this point to do something?
Right. I think that the message that's being sent is one that UA just doesn't care about the minority students on campus or how these things are going to affect us. Because this was an extremely influential person in such a short amount of time. And like Ferris said, like, I planned on working with him closely in the future. I have been working with him just for the months that he was here. So it's, I think that we're hurt, we're upset, we're angry, and we're looking for transparency from the administration, because this is not something to be taken lightly. This is not just somebody came and then things came up and he had to leave. This is a Black man who came on this campus, was a voice for Black students, for minority students in total, voiced an opinion, and now he's gone. So what exactly are we looking for diversity? What are we looking for somebody? Are we looking for representation without a voice? Are we looking for somebody to just stand in as the diversity token and not actually voice the concerns of the students? I think that it's important that we talk about this. I think that the conversation is necessary.
I assume that you agree with that, Farah.
I
thought you were getting emotional.
I think that the conversation is important. We go to school here. I can personally say I'm not on an entirely full scholarship, so there is some money that comes out of pocket. It's a little odd to be able to say that. On a campus where, you know, individualism, creativity, your voice matters, where those type of mottos are just really pushed, we're in a situation where some people are questioning that, and they're not entirely just out alone in the dark on this one. Like, it makes sense. And I think this situation is causing for a conversation of, you know, where do we stand? When it's easy, it's easy to say, you know, this is what's happening, this is where we stand, this is what we believe. It's when things are hard is where your character is defined. So what the question is now is, what is the character? What is the overall character? Who really is willing to stand behind whatever your belief is? And I think that we're coming into a very defining moment on campus, and that's why this is meaning so much so quickly.
The CW ends their article saying that Stephen Hood, the Associate Vice President of Student Life, stated in an email at 5:59 p.m. that neither the university or Dr. Riley will have any further comments. So what do you feel the university could be doing instead of being silent at this point?
Commenting.
Simple as that, apparently.
Okay. Yeah, I think that this time period, whether they recognize it or not, is going to be extremely pivotal. There's so much going on with the atmosphere, and so much is going to be changing with this upcoming year. So when something like this happens and you have an instrumental figure at the university, and for some reason now, after some tweets pop up, they magically resign, I think that people aren't going to settle for that. People aren't going to settle for no further comment, you know? If the university is here to serve the students, which it should be, and the students had somebody who was willing to voice their concerns, and now that person is gone, the university needs to come up and say something. Like, we are definitely expecting transparency about the situation.
So I assume that you guys are not alone in this conversation. So is there any way you all would like, you know, to hear other people hear what they have to say and get involved with maybe talking to you or you, Vera, you, Quailet, about, you know, how to be involved with this combo?
I think both Vera and myself make ourselves available to the students.
As much as possible.
Right. I want there to be an open line of communication. I am a student, so I need to be amongst the people who I'm speaking for in this interview, you know? I welcome the feedback. I welcome the conversation, because it's so important to be had right now. So definitely, if you have concerns, if you feel hurt by this, if you're upset, my email is bkchin at crimson.ua.edu.
Definitely mine is fgsanders, sanders, at crimson.ua.edu. And whether you have some type of opinion Whether you just feel hurt and you just want someone to speak to, I'm open and I'm here and I'm listening and we're here and we're listening.
Yeah, I know that this situation's like extremely disheartening. You know, this man came and he had something to say and he said it, and for some reason now he's no longer at this university. But we should not feel like that applies to us. That should never be how our students feel. We should have the freedom to say these things and to be angry and to be upset. Or, you know, with everything going on in this country right now, I think that UA should foster a more open environment, a safe space or a safer space to talk about these things. Like, I mean, in relation to those tweets, but during this time period with Colin Kaepernick, like I said, at this school, we're allowed to play sports. We're allowed to, you know, throw a football, and we're allowed to be a part of certain things. But once somebody has something to say, once somebody actually voices something, once somebody has to project their concerns and needs something to be done, then it becomes an issue. And I think that's what the biggest problem here is. Like, I think that this is a silencing tactic in many ways.
This has been 90.7 The Capstone. Thank you very much, Quailen and Farah, for being on and speaking about an issue that this campus is facing with their student body.